Rodney McLeod joins us in studio. Rodney, how the hell are you?
What's going on?
He is in the Smart Choice Windows and More studio. So I'll ask you what you did during the bye week coming up in a bit. We got to talk about some decisions being made that are of the business nature at some point. However, Cavaliers are 12-0.
Yeah.
12-0 to start the year.
Hot.
Are you familiar with our Nate Thurman dilemma?
No.
Do you want to explain it to?
Come on.
Let's explain it to an outsider to see what they think before we move forward with the Nate Thurman dilemma.
Well, we just have, with all these fan favorites and Cavs greats, we have these retired numbers. And then we have Nate Thurman, who was a part of the Miracle at Richfield run, but it was at the end of his career, averaged 5 points a game, played like 100 games for the Cavs. And they had been so bad. They've been an expansion franchise. They just threw his banner up, and they retired his number.
Well, they weren't even that bad. They just, I mean, yeah, they had some
history.
Bad years, but they didn't have a history.
What I mean by they didn't have history. So his banner's up there, and now as we've gotten later, we've got more familiar names, and obviously LeBron and Kyrie and all that, and then we have the guy who averaged 5 points a game at the end of his career, who played 2 years in Cleveland, and then came on our radio show and said he was rooting for the Golden State Warriors in the finals because he had played out there.
Yeah, he was very pro-Golden State. It was, I remember I was wishing I could dump it because I felt that a lot of people would say nasty things.
Yeah.
Then he died, and so he's dead, and his banner is up in the rafters. His number is there, and Lima has been looking for ways to kind of subtly take it down. Or even not so subtly take it down. Take down the banner of Nate Thurman. So well, first off,
No, I'm saying like there has to be some valid reason as to why his jersey is hanging in the Raptors. Like you don't that's not anything taken lightly. So what's I'm missing something.
That's what we gave you. He's an NBA Hall of Famer.
Ronnie
he played here for a couple years and that's
okay.
It.
The phone lines have been open
Hall of Famer.
The phone lines have been open for 4 years. I'm still waiting for those justifications.
He was going to be a Hall of Famer whether he played for the Cavs
or not.
So he happened to be here at the end of his career.
He's from Akron.
Yeah.
So he was born and I think raised in Akron.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, he can't speak for himself now because he passed away. But there's nothing. He was here for two seasons. He was not an All-Star here. He's a great player. He was a great player. He's passed away. That's basically it.
Yeah, I think it's just their way to, tribute him for one being from Ohio, finishing their career.
You could always
and Hall of Famer. Just
does that
can
mean
we let that? Can we let it? Can we let it breathe?
So you know, we can't. See, he is not with you.
So Ronnie, if you end up getting into the Hall of Fame, do you? You know, all of a sudden, all of your former teams are going to just put you in the circle of honor,
yeah,
the ring of honor, no matter what.
I think it's different that he finished his career off, right? We're saying with the Cavs.
Are you sure about that? Yeah. Are you sure it's different?
I mean, it's a little.
Do we know what year they put him in?
I don't. No.
Okay, so we don't know what year we necessarily put him in. It seemed again. He said it himself. He was rooting for the team that at that time we all hated.
All right, so that's fine. So I want to then bring us to the next phase of this.
Okay, the next phase.
Which is...
I've had to fight against that, though, by the way.
Which is... Do you know what's...
But I get you guys' point, because, at the same time, it's one of those, like, what does it mean to actually have your name hosted into this, group, elite group?
When's the last Cavs game you went to?
Last year.
All right.
Yep.
So did you happen to look up in the rafters or anything like that?
No.
Okay.
I mean, you always look up, but yeah. I didn't find Nate.
Yeah. So I don't expect, like, if I went to a Wizards game, am I going to be looking up for Wes Unseld or something like that? So I get what you're saying here.
Yeah.
But like now we're about to, at some point, put in LeBron, Kyrie, Kevin Love, maybe Tristan Thompson. At this point, I think 45 is going to go up there.
It's year three if he keeps doing this for another few years.
I mean, these are really great basketball players, three of which at least are there, but four won a title with us, for crying out loud.
Yeah.
So I'm going, when you put that next to all the greats that we've had in the past, like, Nate Thurman really didn't want it that badly.
He's a Hall of Famer, but he just didn't play at the Hall of Fame level when wore the Cavs jersey.
Exactly. So, Tone.
So, it brings us to something else that's happening right now in the NBA. Did you know what today is in the NBA?
About to find out.
No, I don't. I saw something about group play starting this week.
He does know about it. Yeah. Okay.
It is the start. Yeah. It is the start of what is now called, because they got a sponsor, the Emirates Cup.
Yeah.
The in-season tournament. Yeah. And the Cavaliers are a team that, especially they play like this, I mean, they should mop up with the competition. Boston is also in their group, but if they can outlast Boston and they move on to the knockout rounds and the semifinals and the finals, they could win year two of the in-season tournament, the Emirates Cup. The Lakers were ridiculed big time because they won the cup last year over Indiana.
Yeah.
And they hoisted a banner.
Yeah.
The famous Los Angeles Lakers with all their banners, all their retired numbers.
They hoisted it.
Hoisted a banner.
Yeah.
So now we've got to do the same, right?
Correct. Absolutely. It's if they count, they're keeping stats. They label this as a mid-season championship.
Yeah.
There's a lot on the line that deserves a banner.
So Lima brought this up, and I've always fought against it.
And $500,000, right, for each player.
That's a lot of money. Yeah. That's a lot of damn money.
Some good bread.
I think they give you more so you get it after taxes, too, the $500,000, because they give you even more, according to this article I found on the Athletic.
Well, you get it per round. So if you make the quarterfinals, you get $50,000, semis, $100,000. If you're the runner-up, you get $200,000.
That's a lot of money.
And if you win it, so that's stacked each time. It's not just a one-time.
Which I know what you said about Ty Jerome. We'll get to that here in a second here, Tone. But Lima's always tried to find, and people have like sent us pictures like, hey, I'm close here. Hey, I'm like, don't go up there. That's scary. Don't do that. But found a way. Because I said, you don't want to tear it down because then you got to go look into his past. And I don't want to find anything bad about Nate Thurman, for crying out loud. Didn't seem to be a bad guy. Just was rooting for Golden State and we didn't want Golden State to win. It was pretty awkward to hear. But either way, I said, this might be your best chance. You win the NBA Cup quietly. You take down the Nate Thurman one. Would anybody Listen. They go, we're going to raise the next year on opening night, we're going to raise the NBA Cup banner. There's just a space that happens to be missing. Or you take the other spaces and you move them closer to the inside so that Nate Thurman's wasn't there. And then you take Nate Thurman's banner and you put it at the new facility they're building along the lakeshore. Or the river front. So you do that, and then no one's upset.
Why is it focused on just Nate Thurman? Is there nobody else?
Because the other ones,
ring honored.
You can't make a good argument against the other ones. Like Bingo Smith. It's like Bingo Smith started helped the franchise, or got the franchise started, basically. The other one is Brad Doherty.
Well,
Brad Doherty was a tremendous player
here.
There's
one that was slightly controversial.
Who?
That Zadrunas, just because...
No, that meant way more than his number getting retired, though. There's a championship in Cleveland because they retired his jersey.
Well, Z was considered very special because LeBron James came back for it, and this is before he had returned to Cleveland.
Yes.
And there had been rumblings that was maybe when some...
That opened up the chains of communication.
Behind-the-scenes chatter started between owner and player that they could make amends.
Yeah.
For what was a very, very that's a great relationship.
I think it should be the biggest number.
Z put this thing back together. Like, we wouldn't have a championship if Z had not greased the wheel on this.
Yeah.
All right?
Yeah. So we're just saying Nate Thurman, he didn't do anything to contribute to.
Some people said he and Nick Meletti both went to Bowling Green and they were friends. What's that got to do with the price of fish?
Hey.
I've met Matt Collig a couple of times. We both went to Akron. Should I have my name on the stadium down there at InfoStation?
At least put it on the race car.
It can't hurt.
It doesn't hurt. Yeah, it probably would help. But either way.
This is a sensitive subject.
You guys
thought long and hard about this. Well, I have no chance at changing you guys' mind.
There's other sensitive subjects we're beating around the bush with. But you had asked, about Donovan and holding Donovan out in the championship game. Or what did you say? Not playing him 42 minutes in the championship?
It's a regular season game.
Yeah.
How much are we going to care about this? How much is Kenny Atkinson? The team's undefeated right now.
Yeah.
So they're chasing all sorts of history on their own. They've been dominant. Number one in like the power rankings of everybody.
Yeah.
Everybody's talking Cavs. How full go should they be for this newfangled in-season tournament? How much should it matter to them?
I'll tell you why it matters.
You play to win. You play to win. And there's nothing more, you know, that does a lot for a team. You know, winning is contagious. And, again, this is an opportunity to, I feel like, showcase, you know, just who you are at this point in the season. Like, this is your mark. Like, hey, midseason, like, we're midseason champ. Now, obviously, the goal is to, you know what I'm saying, put that trophy up at the end of the year. You know, I think people are going to remember that more than they remember the midseason championship. That's for certain. Lakers last year, right? They win midseason. Now they're kicked out of the playoffs, you know, second round, right? First round. So, you know, I think there's still something to this new championship that they've inserted into the mid-year.
So I got something for you. Before we went to break, you had said about playing him if something bad were to happen, because I didn't realize that the semifinal game and the championship game don't count towards the standings. That was my first thought. Oh, and then blew my mind with something that he had said. How much money? You didn't realize you did it. How much money does Ty Jerome make this year?
He's making $2.5 million this
year. Ty Jerome's making $2.5 million. Mm-hmm. Donovan Mitchell is making $34.85 million.
Mm-hmm.
If all of a sudden he were to go out there and, well, we're going to hold him back here for this. We're going to hold him back because now these games don't count. He is a teammate. He owes it to his teammates who are not getting paid $34.8 million. Now, I'm counting other men's money. I understand this. Mm-hmm. Who are not getting paid $34.8 million, where a guy who's making $2.5 million, I mean, that is, how much of that salary is that? That's $500,000. That's a fifth of the salary.
Yeah.
That you could win for your teammate.
Yeah.
You have to go out there and do the 42 minutes, 45 minutes, and finish it off and win the NBA Cup, even if it might be seen as a bit of a detriment for the future.
Yeah. LeBron did
it. You have to do it.
LeBron did it.
Look what he did for his teammates. He got his own son drafted. Look what he's willing to do for his teammates.
Yeah. That says a lot.
Thank you.
It goes a long way.
All right. You ready to get weird next?
That was weird.
Two things. You know, I know the Cavs are doing well, and we are talking a lot of Cavs because I'm getting, like, the weird accounts that are tweeting at us about the Cavs. So with Lyme and I, we would do CBS Sports Radio, which is now the Infinity Sports Network. And we would do that on the weekends separately, not together. And during my show, I would notice, I happened to ask Lyme one time, I go, do you get, like, these weird accounts that just tweet you about basketball nonstop during your show? And he goes, yeah. And now we're getting them because the Cavs are 12-0 to start off the season. And it's like the same, I don't know what it is, how they aggregate it, whatever it is, so you know that the Cavs are doing well, that there seems to be more, and we are obviously mentioning them more because there seems to be more things that are in whatever algorithm that has us connected to the Cavs. So 12-0 is how the Cavs start out, and it's a very good year for the Cleveland Cavaliers so far. For the Browns, it's been a little bit more difficult. 2-7. All right. Got to ask you. Jed Wills' comments yesterday mentions the term business decisions. You're a player. I'm an analyst, pundit, whatever. Can you tell me about what goes through his head with the term business decisions? Because where I'm from, which is an outsider, and he obviously never played in the NFL, it's used as a demeaning term. But he said it. I've never heard a player come out and say that by himself.
Yeah.
At least to the media.
Yeah. For Jed, you know, I think everybody in the locker room knows what type of player Jed is. And I think him making that remark, you know, now just gives a different interpretation to, you know, maybe yourself or obviously the fans now because of the words that were used. But, you know, I think for Jed and knowing as a player what he was trying to voice was the fact that, honestly, I've played through a lot. I've played, you know, injured, and we all do that. But at this point in time, I feel as though the injury's at a point where I feel I'm going to do more damage than good for the team, right? To a point where I don't feel as confident going out there and that I'm going to be able to help my team in a way that the team needs me to help, right? And that's fair. And for a lot of people, you may not, you know, understand, like, wait, you know, is he injured? Is he not? But knowing what Jed has gone through, the fact that he's battled through several injuries, you know, to this point throughout the season, you know, man, he's put it on the line. And so, you know, when I hear that, it's easy for some people. The headlines are going to be, yeah, business decision was made. But as you listen to more of the interview and you get more of a sense of, man, like, you know, he's just saying that he's hurt. And, yeah, the team wanted him to go out, but he didn't believe that he would be his best self. And that's for a player, that means everything to us. Going out there confidently, knowing that I can do everything intended to be able to not only perform at the level that I expect, but the level that this team expects me to in order for us to win. And if I can't do that, then I have to be selfless, right? Because the selfish thing to do is to say, you know what? I'm going to go out there regardless of how I'm feeling and then just, you know, see what happens. And I respect him for having that awareness to say, you know what? I'm not okay. I'm not good. I'm not going to push through, because where we are in the season, like, they need someone maybe better than what I can be for the team right now.
Boy, that's interesting, because I took it when I heard it, and we all kind of cringed. And we're like, oh no, fans are going to hear that. We also said, what are the players in the locker room going to say? Well, you're somebody in the locker room, and here you are making a passionate defense. Maybe you could have helped him. Maybe you could have helped him. You know, the way you're speaking for him, I can understand some of that. I also wonder if the way that he talked about being cleared before he thought he was ready, how often does that happen? Because it sounds like the Browns cleared him, or the doctors cleared him, and quite frankly, he was thinking, I'm not that ready, and I'm not that confident in that injury and my ability to play with that injury.
Yeah, I'm happy where you have a return date that everyone has kind of laid out as you go through the your rehab and recovery journey. And of course, there are sometimes things can go as smoothly and that date seems ideal, or there could be some mishaps along the way, you know, within any rehab. Like, we're human and you never know how the body is going to respond along the way. But I think what hurts us as players is our pride. You know, the fact that, man, we've been dealing with this injury for so long. We're so just like impatient in a sense, right? Like, that we want to get back out there to like make those plays that we made again, to contribute. You know, we all play this game because we love it and we want to contribute to helping the team win. And I think that pride sometimes gets in our way along the way where, man, like, we don't even realize that, again, we're not okay. And sometimes you are pushed to that level where, you know, honestly, you start to convince yourself that you're okay. And then you start to – and then as you go on, you realize that, actually, I'm not moving the same. I don't have that same, you know, step or power that I had. And now it starts to, you know, it starts to affect your game, starts to affect your mental, to the point where, again, it's now doing more damaging than good.
Well, one of the things, though, that I think affect me and a lot of other fans is that there's been a lot of guys who, you know, we see guys that they love what football gives them. They don't love the game. And fans love the game. I mean, that's why they pay the money to go sit in the stands. They love the game. Mm-hmm. And they wish that they could do it. It's, you know, I hate that there's been that wedge between players and fans where it's like, hey, shut up. This is what we do. And you guys are going to take it or not. And so because we've been jaded by so many guys who have been here that they've drafted number one overall or first round draft picks who, yeah, they've liked the trappings of the NFL, but they really don't love the game. it's very easy for him to fall in that category. Are you telling me he loves the game, point blank?
Yeah, I'm saying he loves the game. You don't go through all the things that we go through if you don't love the game. And there's layers to it. People love the game for all sorts of reasons.
Mm-hmm.
But to say that, yeah, you don't love it, like, no, you have to love it to do the things that we do, to sacrifice a lot of the things that we give up, you know, for this sport. Like, you can't do it without love.
Mm-hmm.
Man, Rodney McLeod joining us in studio. So when I continually hear players in the NFL, like, we were spoiled. We had Joe Thomas. Joe Thomas played through endless injuries at a Hall of Fame level. And even when he was dinged up, you wouldn't know it because he's still not allowing pressures. He's still not allowing sacks. Unfortunately for Jed, as the guy to replace Joe Thomas, it has not been a Hall of Fame career. Who could? Who could replace Joe Thomas and play at that level? But Jed has never... You know, to our perspective and a lot of fans, has just never lived up to number 10 overall. Do you think it's unfair when fans, when media, when we have those kind of expectations on somebody and we demand that they put it out there every week? Because this happened with Baker. Baker was injured. He was banged up, was clearly not the same guy that he was when healthy. And it ignited a huge debate in town about whether or not he should even be playing. And Baker was out there giving it his all, and it almost seemed to hurt his case. It almost hurt his cause with the team.
It seemed to cost him $200 million, Rodney.
Yeah, because there is no grace given once you step on that field in between those white lines. Nobody cares. Like, that's, you guys are just explaining everything that we feel like. Nobody cares that you were rehabbing all week. You know, you did Normatec boots, you did hyperbaric chamber, you did endless cold tub sessions, you did swimming pool. Nobody cares. They just want to see results on Sunday. And that's the world that we live in. And so that's the pressure that you also have as a player. So if you're telling me that, man, look, I don't feel my best self. I know I can't go out there and block, you know, TJ Watt at the level and protect my quarterback at the level that he deserves. I can't do that. That's fair. And I think what people think, again, that we're machines, like, that you can just click a button and you're fine. Like, no. Some people are just wired and built different. Joe Thomas obviously is one of those guys. He's a Hall of Famer. I forget the streak that he did, like, how many games he missed, like, he didn't miss or snaps. That is, you know, an anomaly. Like, he's in, like, a world of his own, a class of his own. And that's, I think everybody would love to be in that position, because there's nothing more important than being available for your team, right? And not only available, but then, you know, playing at the level that Joe did. But I think it is unfair to place that sort of expectations on every player, like, because every player is their individual self. You know, every player brings something different and dynamic to the game and to the team. You can't expect another Joe Thomas necessarily. You could expect, man, who is Jed, and are we going to get, you know, the Jed Wallace that we all expect, or whomever that player is. Like, that's what you judge him by. And, you know, of course, we're going to do comparables. That's human nature. That's part of the game. You know, that's sports. But at the end of the day, skill set of his own, abilities of his own, and we should just live with that.
Well, I also think we make our own decisions on who to give a little bit of leeway to and who not. Like, I will openly admit, I like DeJuan Jones. He's a fine young man. He's always treated us very, very well. And I know that he's played through an injury to start off this year. And I know that a lot of people know that. I don't think that people care when I said that. I think that they choose to believe what they want to believe. And while they're out there, it gives credence to your point. It's like, well, if you're going to go out there, you better be at the very, very best level.
Yeah.
Like, one of the games, like, we bring up Joe Hayden. And this was earlier this year when he had said, or not earlier this year, but years ago. And I brought this up earlier in the show with Lima, where he had said, hey, man, you can either run with Antonio Brown or you can't run with Antonio Brown. And there was a lot of, like, well, I guess the man makes a point. Because earlier in the year, He had covered he'd covered Calvin Johnson, one of the greatest to ever do it. But Calvin Johnson was a highly publicized knee injury where he was out there as a decoy. I mean, you could see they threw him like one ball in that football game, and it was like a fade just basically to see whether or not he could go on it, and that's it. Well, we take what we want to out of it because to me, hey, Joe Hayden shut down Calvin Johnson. To Alliance fans, like, man, he was walking around on one leg.
Correct.
And so when I look at DeJuan Jones, I like DeJuan Jones. He went to Ohio State. It's fish in a barrel. But when it comes to Jed Wills, a lot of people felt that they should have drafted somebody else at that position. A lot of people did not like that they put them, and these are decisions that are past you, Roddy. I'm just letting you know. A lot of people felt he should have been put at right tackle instead of left tackle, which is not in their fans' control or his control even. And so there's a lot of things where it's like, man, you're off to a bad start there with a lot of folks. And it just – yeah, we play favorites with the ones we want to play favorites with, I guess, is how I should say it. Like if you ended up getting hurt and making a business decision, God forbid – I go, Rodney's a hell of a guy. You guys don't need to worry about Rodney. With other ones, maybe I'd feel differently about it. It is hypocritical. I will openly admit, but it is the truth. That part is the truth. That how we feel is hypocritical. How I even feel is hypocritical. But I'm just telling you how I feel. Pitch, please.
All right, guys, there is a problem brewing in Dallas besides their 3-7 record and Dak Prescott being out. Apparently the sun is blocking players' vision during games, and Jerry Jones is quoted yesterday saying, "Let's just tear down the damn stadium and build a new one. Are you kidding me?" I could not find that audio. But one of his players, CeeDee Lamb, spoke after the Cowboys lost to Philadelphia on Sunday, and he had different thoughts.
Couldn't see the ball. Couldn't see the ball at all. The sun. But
in favor of coaches.
Yes, 1,000%.
You talked to Perry about that.
I mean, y'all doing my job right now.
It does seem to be a little odd that how long has that stadium been open? Over a decade now, right?
Yeah, definitely over 2009.
Oh, longer.
It's bad. No, it's bad.
Dude. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, you know. Play,
yeah.
Yeah.
No, like when the sun, there's a particular spot. I mean, everybody can see it.
They highlight
on the field.
It every game. They highlight
it's
every
always
game.
There. So I don't. I mean, it's not anything new. It's really, you know, I thought it was like an advantage for them because, like Dallas, they know. They know exactly where the Suns place and all. And honestly, I feel like they use it as a weapon. But I mean, I don't know why that's news to Jerry Jones.
How can they use it as a weapon? Do they know like the time in the fourth quarter when the Suns going to hit at the right point?
I mean,
maybe
if you get the opportunity to select the ball, then I'm going in this direction versus that direction. That's a real thing.
Yeah, but if I need the ball to score, I'm not just going to give you the ball. I mean, they get blown out again on Sunday, yeah. So it doesn't really matter.
No, I'm
but
just saying
way.
At the start of the game, you know, you use it late in the third. We're going to have the ball. We're going against the sun or not in that direction. Like, it's a valuable, like, strategy.
It's the same reason you pick a side when you're playing outdoors, right? Yeah.
Correct.
Why did he get so defensive? But now there is no audio. Mitch couldn't find it.
Because they've been talking about it forever. And, in fact, as it turns out, when they have concerts that are a little earlier in the day, whatever, they cover it up.
But, you know, like, they did that because the old Texas stadium had the big hole in it, right? Yeah. So it was an homage to that stuff, right?
You didn't see what they did yesterday?
It's a bad flaw.
Do you think if they built it 10 years later, they wouldn't even have done any of that stuff?
Probably not. But did you guys see what they did yesterday during Mike McCarthy's press conference? They put a giant shade up in front of his face.
Yes.
So you had sun coming in from the side, and someone's like, I'm not kidding you, this is real life. They took a great big, like, shade, and so you could get your pictures, and he's not going to be sunned out and everything like that. Yeah.
Global warming.
There you go. That's what it just seems to be so silly, like, why you'd get so defensive. It's like, you spent $1 billion on the stadium at least, probably, well, it'd be more than that now, but, I mean, you spent that much money on the stadium at least, you would probably put up some curtains there if you wanted to do so. My God. All right, you got Jake, is it Jake Paul or Logan Paul?
Jake, I think we've figured out.
They've established it's Jake.
Is that fight really going on this weekend or not?
Yeah, and it's on Netflix on Friday. So if you have Netflix, you just pull it up. They've started going nuts. Every time I pull up Netflix, it's showing that. So the estimated Paul's going to make $40 million. Tyson's going to make $20 million.
I'm not contributing to that.
So you think this shouldn't even be sanctioned?
Yeah, no.
60-year-old man, wait, right? Tyson's 60?
I'm not watching. I grew up a Mike Tyson fan for sure, but I'm not condoning what they're doing right now. I say it reminds me of like that Ready to Rumble video game back in the day on like Dreamcast. Like they're like celebrity boxing. It's like it's getting out of hand. and then putting it on Netflix, it looks more like a movie. I'm not interested in Mike Tyson. Well, you don't have J-Paw's Creed 4.
You don't have to pay extra for it. Like, it's just already on the Netflix. I imagine you already have the Netflix.
Yeah, I got Netflix.
Okay.
Of course.
So if you don't,
Netflix,
by the way.
Netflix, Hulu, whatever.
Well, this is killing my idea to have Ronnie break down that fight next.
That time. Zodiac Killer documentary is fantastic on Netflix. You like, if you're interested in serial killers, Rodney, that's good stuff. The Zodiac. Anyway, that and the John Wayne Gacy tapes. But we'll discuss that off the air.
I watched that Menendez Brothers recently.
I fell asleep during it.
Yeah.
And then woke up. I wasn't feeling that good over the weekend. I woke up and Liz is like, turn this off. I can't.
Yeah.
I don't know what part it was
it's
on.
It's intense.
Well, I can imagine what was on. I can't imagine what was said. She's like, what are you doing watching this? I go, I don't know what you're talking. I just woke up.
Well, there's some full frontal and all that.
Yeah. Okay. I fell asleep at the right time. So, what were we talking about? Oh, yeah. Jake Paul.
Yeah, frontal. You're watching?
I don't want to see an old man get whopped on, but
there's no headgear. Originally, they thought headgear was going to be involved. Now they just tinkered with the gloves. I think gloves are going 14 ounces, and this is I totally ripped on this when they came up with this. You know, a year ago, they've been talking about this for a while. I'm like, this Mike Tyson should not be in the ring. They shouldn't allow this. But now, of course, they're showing all the videos of Tyson sparring. He looks amazing. Of course he does.
Yeah.
The question is, can a 58-year-old man, we're thinking of Mike Tyson when he was in his 20s and his 30s.
That's what I keep thinking
of. And the two-minute videos. Is there any chance, because I've assumed all along he was going to lose and people thought I was crazy. And because I've seen Paul fight. I've seen him train. He is in his athletic prime. He's fought not just tomato cans, but also not guys.
He's 27
that are
years
at their
old. He's 27 years old.
So what? How would you handicap this? Do you even need to see Tyson spar? Do you think he has any shot at his age? A 58-year-old man?
No, they're just making it. They're gonna make it entertaining for a while. But I think, like, that's what I'm saying. I don't even think this is worth even like a discussion.
Well, you guys,
to be quite honest, I don't believe it.
Should the state athletic commissions been worried about the health of Mike Tyson? Should they have even allowed this? Because like in we would have problems in the NFL. All we do is talk about concussions and keeping guys healthy. This when you talk about MMA and boxing, nobody cares if the guys are healthy. Fans don't.
Yeah.
Fans don't care if Mike Tyson can't talk, you know, 5 years from now and goes into some terrible spiral that this, you know, takes to the next level.
Well, yeah, but
it's,
I think
Ronnie
just said he wasn't going to watch it. So basically, I mean, you're calling it basically cockfighting in so many words. So if he's not going to watch it, obviously there are people who do care. Now, I think you just hit it right there on the mark. When I think of Mike Tyson, I think of Mike Tyson when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And like Customato and the Killer, like that's what I'm thinking about. Yeah. I don't think about
gloves held in close.
Yes.
Close to the chin and just letting them rip.
Still had the house in Youngstown.
Yeah.
South of Youngstown. You know about the Mike Tyson house?
Yeah.
You do?
Okay. Yeah.
It was a nice
house. I've never been.
I think it's still empty. I think it's still empty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everybody knows about that.
He had real jungle animals there.
Yeah.
It was
a
real deal.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Rodney, thank you for the time. Good luck against New Orleans this Sunday. Do you like playing in New Orleans? Or?
I was telling my wife last night that I've never played there. The last time I was there, I was injured in 2019 with the Eagles. We played them twice that year, regular season, playoffs, but I was hurt. So this is the first time I actually get to put on a helmet and run around, hit some people, make some plays in New Orleans. But it's a great crowd, great atmosphere, looking good, looking forward to it, great food, looking forward to some oysters after this victory.
And you got to end the touchdown drought.
Sunday.
You got to get back in the end zone.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm hoping to end the interception drought.
We got to scheme some plays for Rodney.
Fake jet sweep. They say I get one more. If I touch the end zone one more time, then I probably could line up on offense just as a decoy, maybe.
Well, that's what you got to say.
I've never wanted anything
more
in my life.
It's
exactly what he's got to tell us. I just want to say, hey, I lined up on the offensive side one time before.
Don't you think Myles Garrett could go out for a pass? Okay.
Absolutely.
Podcast 1015. 92.3 The Fan Extra. Rodney, thank you. We thank Rodney McLeod. 92.3 The Fan Extra on the free Odyssey app. 1015. Bye.